Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I want my country back, and the country I'm talking about would not tolerate this nonsense.
But now you have a choice. There is a party that will represent you and stand up for common sense.
And when the dam bursts, it will do so spectacularly.
I overturned the biggest ever Conservative majority of 25,500 people.
But if Britain is broken, then logically, Britain needs reform.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to the sixth edition of the Reform Party podcast. I have a very interesting guest today, but before we do that, I'd just like to mention that last week's edition with Simon Evans has had over 5,000 views and is going very well. So what I'm saying is the podcast is now starting to get some real traction. So if I could introduce my guest today, and his name is Jason Moorcroft. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
I looked at the odds the other day, because I do have the occasional bet. And I looked at the odds for the next UK Prime Minister. And at the top, the favourite is?
Our very own.
Nigel Farage, yeah. Correct. He's running about 2-1. So what I thought I would introduce you today is if Nigel's the favourite to be the next Prime Minister, I would suggest to you, and we'll explore this in our conversations today, that you are probably the bookie's favourite to be the sixth Reform MP.
Well, within our area, yeah, certainly, yeah. It was nothing pleased me more to be it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, well, if I could explain why, where is it you're from, where is it you're running for?
Okay, I'm from the Runcorn Halsbury constituency. Mm. I live in Fodgham, which is in the centre. I'm running for this local by-election, should it come around in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so the background is that you're the current MP, Labour MP, Mike Amesbury, in Frodsham's near your house that he did it, had a swing at somebody at a taxi rank and hit him, and was taken to court and has pled guilty.
To assault,
ABH?
No, common assault.
Common assault,
yeah.
So he's due up for sentencing next week. Now, assuming that he is sentenced, there's a number of things that can happen. Could you explain what the ramifications are?
Well, yeah, it comes under parliamentary regulations. So the Standards Committee, if you get sentenced for more than 12 months, then is...
And how likely is that?
Very, very unlikely.
Right.
Yeah. It's bound by the sentencing guidelines, and I very much doubt whether that would be the outcome. Mm-hmm. The other way is that he does receive a sentence but could be suspended or whatever, and that's up to the judiciary how they decide. At that point, he has a number of options, one being he could just sit in the seat and see what carry on, in which case it will be subject to the Standards Committee in Parliament. Mm. And they can suspend him for however long. But if it's more than 10 days, then that would trigger a recall petition.
Right.
that means I'm going to go out and get 10% of the electorate.
Yeah, so you and probably a few other parties would be looking to combine
yeah.
But I wouldn't have thought getting 10% of the electorate would be difficult.
No. Well, considering we got 18-19% last time out in the election, then to get 10% now.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't just be us, it would be the Lib Dems, Greens, and potentially even Lib, because he's no longer a Labour MP.
So you think that recall petition is probably a pretty likely outcome. Yeah. So the chances are then that we'll be within the next few months.
It's a lengthy process.
So oh, is it?
Probably looking June, July, August time for a by-election.
Okay. But that will almost certainly be the next parliamentary by-election that we have. Is that correct?
I would say so, yeah. Unless somebody steps down in the interim in another constituency.
Yeah.
He may well step down.
Himself. Yeah.
And to say, at the end of the day, going back out to the lecture, made a mistake.
And I did hear something the other day about that Keir Starmer was keen to get somebody else into Parliament, Jonathan Ashworth.
There's a lot of names being bandied around.
And that he may well find that Amesbury is actually pushed out by Labour in order to achieve that objective.
So
it could be much quicker than that.
Oh, definitely. I don't know what's going to influence it for Amesbury, what he's going to do, but if people did vote for a Labour MP, and he's no longer a Labour MP. So if you're a tribal Labourist, then you can well say, well, I haven't got what I voted for.
No. And you stood for reform in July, didn't you?
Yes.
And you got 18%?
Yeah.
Of the vote. In fact, I looked it up because I thought I would see just, have you looked at electoral calculus? It's a great site, isn't it? Because what electoral calculus does for anybody who doesn't know is it looks at all the factors that affect a seat, puts it all together, looks at the last result, what's changed, and then comes up with a prediction for the seat.
Yep.
And you are predicted, if it were to be held now, you're predicted, in a general election, you'd be predicted to get 36%. Sorry, you'd have a 36% chance of winning and predicted to get 29.9% of the vote. Now that's big.
It's mammoth. It's a mammoth achievement. Consider it's only 6 months, and we bought 12% on.
That's right. And it's going in that upward direction.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a by-election, not a general election. And as we all know, the by-elections are a lot more volatile.
Yeah.
Which will again improve the chances. So what I'm saying to you, I'm suggesting to you, and I'm sure you'll agree, is that there's a very, very good chance that, assuming this by-election happens in the next few months, that you could win it.
Oh, definitely. It's the feeling we get from about reform on the streets is overwhelming. It really is positive. And my elections are not always about voting for a national party. It's about sending a message to government on how well they're doing. So some tribal Labour people might lend us their vote just to send a message to Sir Keir that it's not working what he's doing.
And supposing Sir Keir did parachute somebody into the seat like a Jonathan Ashworth or someone of that sort, what do you think the reaction would be locally? Because I don't know Runcorn very well, but I do know it's a very tight knit community.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And we like our own. Throughout the whole of Runcorn Helsby, we've always wanted local people to actually be representing us. And that's one of the things that we've not had, even with Mike now, is...
Is he not local?
No, he's from Withenshaw.
Oh, it was he? I didn't know that.
So, the feeling we're getting is we want somebody local.
Right.
Yeah, and who understands us, because we are in a quite a funny sort of constituency. We're half very industrial.
Yes, I mean, Runcorn's a very industrial area in the backs of the Mersey, isn't it, with lots of... Is it mainly oil refinery, isn't it?
There's oil, which is bordering on Ellesmere Port side, and then you've got the chemicals, which is in Runcorn.
Right.
And then amongst all that, you've got
Frodsham and Helsby.
Yeah, and the farming community is going on. So it's very, very different.
Yeah.
And one of the good things that we've got in reform, and from what I've been as the chair of our local branch, is we understand everything from different sides. So we know what the farming community want. We're in with the industrial areas. We know what goes on there. So we're appealing to both sides of the
constituency. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
because I've lived there all my life. Grew up. I worked in ICI. I've done the farms. I've done a broad brush of everything there. So I can understand. So when people tell you your problems, it's not you telling me, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong. It's part of our life already. We understand it, and we're out fighting.
Mm.
And we're campaigning on many things at the moment. Even though we're not elected, we are the official opposition.
Yeah.
So we're campaigning for the bridge tolls, which have been raised scandalously. We're campaigning against the...
That's the new bridge?
The new bridge and the old bridge, right, on the witness bridges. They were never told, and then they've been told, and now they've just increased them 20-odd percent, which is just scandalous, damaging firms on both sides.
Right.
I mean, that goes on far, far deeper against Holton Borough Council in itself. We're fighting against some of the refineries coming in are just pumping out all these pollutants.
Into the river,
yeah. Oh, into the air, which is coming out over. So we've been working on that quite a lot. And also the extra building going on in Runcorn on Greenbelt sites. Mm. And then we're out with the farmers doing what they're doing. Obviously, everyone knows what's happened with the farmers.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't make a very good start with farmers, did they?
No. they didn't have many boats in the first place, don't I think, but they didn't even last now.
No, that's right. So I it's interesting that Amesbury had been brought in from outside, and was he a typical Labour apparatchik or?
Yeah, say.
Yeah.
Was
he kind of a sort of rising star in the Labour Party? Or?
He was. he went up, and then somehow he got sidelined. This is my assumption from the outside in, so I'm not qualified on it, but I will say he's the old left Labour.
What did you think of his left?
Bad.
Not a good hook?
No. Oh, sure as I don't say I am. Yeah, no. It wasn't a good hook. It was a good swing.
Yeah. Again, hitting somebody that wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's not going to be difficult, is it?
No. So, I mean, it must be tremendously exciting, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic.
The prospect of,
yeah,
you know, getting on that train, getting off down in London and... exciting.
And the big thing, obviously that's exciting, but the big thing is we know that we can make the change.
Mm.
It's been neglected, and that's what drives you thinking, you know, our people, my people, you know, wherever they're, we can make the change. And that's what the exciting bit is.
Well, I mean, I know, because this is probably the first and maybe the only parliamentary by-election coming up in the year. I mean, Reform, we're going to throw absolutely everything at it, aren't we?
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. We're just up the road, as you know, half an hour north in the world. We'll have loads of supporters down. You just tell us how many you want, where you want them, and we'll get them there for you.
Oh, thank you very much. And you know what? That's what we need, and we do that with mutual aid. We go out ourselves, we're helping out other.
Yeah, you said you were doing it for Emma Guy today.
Yeah, up in Northwich.
Yeah,
and so you know, we go out and help, and it's good to train our people as well, our canvassers, to see what sort of feedback you get and get experience on it.
Yeah,
but we were out canvassing yesterday.
Right.
Some of the areas not too far from here.
And are you canvassing for the local elections as well? Or?
No, this is
for general election.
Yeah, voting intent.
We did something a little while back. Did Nigel write a letter to every constituent or something? Yeah. Talk me through that.
That was great. Well, Nigel wrote a letter, which was to be hand-delivered to all 70,000 constituents, which is not an easy task.
No.
Yeah. And it was the start, really, of the mutual aid where we get other constituencies to come and help, because to deliver 70,000 letters needs a lot of people.
Mm.
And it was telling everybody, maybe it's online, you can see it, but it was just telling people about there's a potential by-election coming up and how we should be supporting reform.
Yeah.
And the feedback from that, by the way, was absolutely fantastic. There was a self-addressed envelope inside, and we have thousands of responses. Absolutely fantastic. Obviously, 99.9% is becoming to reform. But there's a lot in there saying they're coming from Labour to reform and the Conservatives.
Yeah.
So that was very encouraging. Because you'd expect, you know, supporters to respond.
Well, I found this in the July election. I've said this on here before. I think that what I found was that actually it was the most working class area of my constituency that I got the most votes from.
Yeah.
And it's the Labour heartlands, I think, in the last 6 months or so that we've really started to attract.
Well, that's it. Because funny enough, I was just talking about this to somebody before it came out, and you really expected those sort of areas to be Labour through and through.
Mm.
But they're not typically Labour, they're working class.
Mm.
And that's who we reform our...
And as we all know, Labour's got nothing to do with the working class anymore.
No,
I certainly don't represent them.
Yeah, and that's what we say. If you vote Labour now, you're more than likely a champagne socialist.
Mm.
And the people who we're getting are true working class, down-to-earth people, your plasterers, your bricklayers, your nurses, your driving instructors, just normal folk.
I was listening to something that earlier on, and they were talking about this, that the only people who vote for Labour now are people who've got luxury beliefs.
Yes.
In other words, that they're rich enough and wealthy enough not to worry about their physical needs, but that they can, what they want is status, and they want to signal their virtue to everybody else by saying, okay, you know, I've got this lovely house and car and everything else, but they put a vote Labour sign in the window to signal their virtue.
Funnily enough, a lady came out to us the other day, and she said, because we go out campaigning every day, and she comes out and she goes, I know you won't think I vote Labour living here, but I always voted Labour. She was quite an old lady for all my life, so I'm not going to change now, she said. But she goes, but I said you're in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she agreed. She goes, I should be voting for you.
Mm.
So we'll vote for us, and left her a leaflet. I'll come back to one election day and say, how'd you get out?
Yeah, good.
Well, she was wealthy, and yeah, she's not Labour anymore.
So have you got local elections coming up, no?
Next year.
Next year,
yeah.
Okay, so you're not getting... We had Simon Evans, as you know, from West Lancaster last week. And he's in Lancashire, all the elections are coming up this May, so we're going to showcase some of his candidates on here.
Okay.
We've got, I think, four coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, give them some exposure and show people, you know, what we're made of in terms of the local candidates.
But it's all over that kind of... I was doing a talk for Peter Langley's branch up in Weaver last week. I was explaining to their branch, don't think that you haven't got an election coming up that you can sit back and go, oh, yeah, I'll do, have a cup of tea and what have you. Because look at us in Runcorn. You know, we thought, oh, it's 4 years off, 2 years off, and time's not on your side, so don't sit on your laurels, you know, get out there, because it's that data that you need.
And have you got a good base of activists?
Yeah. We've got, well, our branch meetings used to be, when we first started off, about three of us, and now each time we're having to buy,
we'll get a bigger venue,
bigger hall, and we're getting about 100. And so we cater for 100 men every time.
I was just saying to Steve before we started, we've got a meeting on Wednesday night and we're a constituency, and I don't think we've had a big enough hall. And I don't know how you get around that, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Squeeze it this time.
Yeah, it will be.
And then next time. And it's not just hiring the hall, it's having the equipment.
Mm.
And we've gone from just shouting loudly, and now we've got speaker kit and everything.
It's, yeah.
And it's almost a night out for people.
Mm. Yeah.
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 It's good.
Yeah. We launched straight into Runcorn for obvious reasons. We never got a chance to ask you anything about yourself, really. Okay. What do you do? Do you work?
I do. I work. I'm one of the working class. Yeah. I've always been a computer engineer.
Mm.
Programmer.
Right.
Coder. Oh.
Coder.
Yeah. AI coding for the latest bit. Not as AI as like Elon Musk or anything like that. It's just basic machine learning. Did it for banks, did it for all sorts for a long time in law, medical, utility services. And then I was planning on retiring and doing up driving instructor.
Right. So that's what you do?
That's what I'm doing now. Well, since our new glorious party took over, a lot of funding's left UK. And Top Level IT is one of the first ones to get.
Is that right?
So it just came early and I thought it's just balance work.
Mm.
and now doing the driving instructor. I absolutely love it.
Do you?
Yeah. It's being with people, and you mix with all people you wouldn't normally meet, and they're people open up to you. So yeah, it was like,
so you do a bit of canvassing in the car
all the time. Well, it's understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
And you're doing it, the troubles, the strife, what's going well, what's going down in the various villages. Put some gas, talk away for an hour, and we get paid for doing it.
Yeah, great. So how do you think AI is going to affect things? We had this discussion the other week. It was just when the Chinese had come out with their DeepSeek thing, which, yeah. At the time, Starmer was saying, you know, AI is the future, AI is the future. But as far as I can see, AI is not the future in the UK, is it? Because the cost of energy is so expensive here that we can't afford to run AI modules.
No. If you're talking about top end AI, you need a lot of equipment, a lot of power.
Mm.
And it's going to cost a fortune. It's going to be prohibitive. You won't have to do it.
No, that's right.
But your general AI, there's a lot of people getting switched onto it, and it's getting there, but it's not true conscious AI.
No. Yeah, and as somebody was saying the other day, it depends on who programs it, puts the algorithm in. What, you know, that their prejudices are actually built into the algorithm.
Yeah.
So it's not true AI yet.
Not quite. Although I did write one which wrote, it knew what its shortfalls were and went and found the solution.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what were its shortfalls?
Well, just lack of knowledge, because you're talking about something that's inside the computer and it's got to react and sort of work with the outside world, and it can't comprehend it.
Yeah.
So even knows it's a square, it doesn't know what a square is.
Yeah.
It just knows it's four sides.
Yeah. Yes, the I'm afraid the AI industry in the UK is going to be a victim of net zero, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But that's where I want to drive. I mean, Runcorp's got a good hub for new tech and new generation, but we need to expand on it. Some of the lads I teach have got master's degrees in computers, but there's no jobs, no opportunities. We've got to create those.
Mm.
And AI, it is the way forward, because the things that we've got to do, there's no one there to calculate as quickly. It's 24/7 workers.
Yeah. So what sort of start do you think the Donald has made in America?
I think he's done a really good job. Yeah, I think.
Were you always a fan?
Yeah. I mean, Donald could do things which you think, wow, that's great. And you think, oh, don't. But he is what he is. You know, you accept the good and the bad.
Mm.
In terms of the country and just hearing from people, you know, out there in the States, are coming back and saying, everything. We've got belief. That's one thing we haven't got out here. But over here is belief in our system and government. But it's actually everyone's over there is going, yeah, we're on the road now.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I think. And Caroline Leaver, I just have to give it to her.
Yeah, she's good, isn't she?
I'm thinking of recruiting her for my campaign.
No, I don't think so. I think you'll have a hard fight to get her off him.
Yeah, funny, I was talking to our campaign manager. Said, who do you want? I said, I want Caroline Leaver.
Or maybe one day.
Yeah.
As I say, the net zero thing, I think, is having a huge effect on the country, not just AI, but right across industry. I mean, it's demolished. It's really taking all of our industry away, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's going to be nothing left. Assuming that reform, that we get power in 2029, do you think there's going to be enough left for us to build things back up again?
Yeah, because that's the caliber of people in reform.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to be a Labour and going, oh, it's all the Tories' fault. The Tories always blaming Labour. Get in there, sort it, and say, right, what's the problem? Let's fix it. Irrelevant, so we can, whatever happens, we'll be able to fix it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no point trying.
No.
And if you look at net zero, they're absolutely demolishing Progem at the moment.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be the biggest solar farm in the country, or one of the biggest.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we're just, you know, we're just railroading over all the wildlife, over everything. And Labour, I'm full support of them. We're going, well, these marshes have been here for 100,000 years.
This is the thing about this ecology stuff.
is that it actually seems to be counterproductive.
Yeah.
You know, they're making all these solar panels. There's no way of recycling them.
Yeah.
They're silicon. No, they're not recyclable. And just everything that they try and do seems to actually work in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's variable type of electricity source, because unfortunately we don't get a lot of sun in Frodsham. Mm-hmm. It's not one of our hot spots. So it's variable. It's very limited certain times of the year. We're disposable of the batteries. It's just flawed from start to finish.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Our electricity bills won't go down one penny because of it.
No.
Why do it?
And meanwhile, we've got all of the North Sea oil and gas. We've got gas, shale gas that we could be fracking. But there's no will to do it.
No. Well, I wouldn't frack under Frodsham or anywhere.
Yeah. I don't think Frodsham's got much. Yeah. But I should have mentioned to Simon last week, Lancashire's got plenty.
Yeah.
When you look back at what happened with the fracking thing and why fracking has become unpopular in the public mind, there's actually no science behind it. I mean, there was no danger of any earthquakes or anything of that sort.
Nah.
The whole industry was completely safe and could be proven to. I mean, it's been done in America for. Yeah. Years now, it can be shown to be completely safe, but despite all that, nobody wants to do it, and it's a relatively clean way of getting energy.
Yeah, but you know, that falls back on getting the truth out of what's going on.
Yeah.
And recruiting is the wrong word. We've been bringing in expert sources, people who know what we're talking about, because we are an industrial site. We've got ICI or the old ICI site, and we've got Shell. Two massive sort of industrial complexes, and they're being fed information, and you don't know whether it's truth or they're trying to hoodwink you.
Mm.
So we've been bringing in people who will know. So we've got carbon capture going in, we've got HyNet,
right,
solar farms, but we're bringing in people who can have a good argument, because you can argue with me.
And do you think carbon capture will work?
No. I'm getting told it's just a whole list of failures.
Mm.
But that's the reverse of the fracking they're pumping in underneath the Irish Sea.
Yeah.
But no one knows, and no one can give a good enough answer to say, well, what's the truth? What's the impact?
It's as if all the, whatever it is, whatever impetus there is for anything, it all has to fit into the ideology, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit into the ideology, then you don't do it. That's so it. Even if fracking's entirely safe, doesn't fit into the ideology, you don't do it.
Yeah.
And the same for the carbon capture thing.
Yeah. There you go. It is. And that's where we're different. And I pride myself, I tell people this when I'm out. If you've got a different view, we're not like Labour where you just shout you down until you agree to their point of view. Come on, have your argument, have a debate, and let's look at these things. Because we're all on the same team.
Mm.
We all have to live in that environment. Why don't we get the truth? And if there is risk, let's look at the risks.
Yeah.
And weigh them up and decide together rather than just being shouted down in a corner.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's really got off to a fantastic start, hasn't he? Did you hear the J.D. Vance speech the other day?
Briefly.
Yeah.
We've been out campaigning.
Yeah, been too busy. He made a fantastic speech to the in Europe. And basically, what he was more or less destroyed all of the arguments that the globalists had in one speech. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Of course, snippets of it, and there's parts about the freedom of speech, and he's right. He's 100% right. They were on a council, I'm on Frodsham Council, and we had a talk with the councillors the other day. I said, well, if you can't.
So you're on Frodsham Council?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Town Council.
Mm.
Oh, it's a prestigious appointment.
And just as an independent, or?
Well, as we form.
As you form?
Yeah.
You stood as you form?
Yes.
And were elected as you form? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good. And how's the
going back years.
How's the council doing?
Oh, it's okay. It's parish council.
Mm.
So the things that we do are really, really good. But it doesn't affect anything.
So you do things below kind of normal council level?
Yeah, we do events, to Fodrum Festival.
All right.
Looking after the parks.
You don't run the schools or?
No. It's community stuff.
Right.
So it's good. Yep. Yeah. And it's at parish level.
Mm.
But if there's anybody out there wanting to get into politics or getting into being a councillor, go and find out your local parish council.
Yeah, good training.
Going on how things work. Because normally you'll see things and go, oh, I'm going to fix that pothole. Why isn't it being done? But when you get onto the council, you suddenly realise there's a way of doing it.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's what parish councils are good at, teaching you those things. You've lost my track now. Where was I?
Don't worry. Going back to, you mentioned about the green belt.
Yes.
I think this is going to be one of the next big fault lines in politics, because Angela Rayner has produced this document which is saying that there's got to be, in every locality virtually, there has got to be a new local plan, which is going to accelerate the number of house buildings that they're going to go on over the next 5 to 10 years. Have you had part of that in your area?
In Fodrum, we have had a neighbourhood plan.
Right.
Is
she changing it? Is it being changed because of that?
No, it was always going to be in place. We always going to have. But the plan's been in a while.
And presumably that plan says you're not going to build on green belt.
We're utilising spaces within Fodrum, which could be utilised for open spaces.
Right.
When I say open, it might be brownfield track.
So is it not specified? Is it not specified as green belt at the minute then?
A lot of it's not, no.
Right.
We've got no green belt building.
Have you not? Right. Okay.
But we are, I know it's coming in, and there's a lot of the parishes and the villages who are going to be open to having massive amounts of building.
Mm.
We don't want it.
Mm.
They haven't got the infrastructure, they haven't got schools, hospitals to cater for it. I mean, even our own, if you look at most of the schools around us, they've all got 30 kids, far, far too high. Because they haven't got the teachers, they haven't got the school classes to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do a podcast in a couple of weeks' time with a couple of guys from Wirral who are very focused on the green belt and what's going to be happening, because I mean we have, basically, if you understand how green belt developed, it came originally, it was to stop the development in London.
Yeah.
So it was to stop London just spreading and spreading and spreading into the countryside, and then later it was adopted and it was rolled out to all other local authorities effectively, and everybody treated it in a different way. What they did in Wirral was basically, we had about four or five main towns in Wirral. And what they did was just drew a line around them and said, right, everything else is greenbelt. And so all of the rest of the land, no matter the quality, it's nothing to do with the land quality or anything, became greenbelt.
Yeah.
And that's what they've been trying to protect ever since. But as I say, this new plan that they've now said that we've got, I think it's 44,000 new houses.
Yeah.
Now, there's no, you know, the population of Wirral has actually been declining. So there's no real, there is demand for housing, good quality housing, obviously, but there's not demand for 44,000 new houses because we haven't got industry to support that.
Yeah, that's what we said over with us. Mm. They want all this new housing, but my challenge, and I've been representing a number of constituents, who have been at Section 21 notices out private rentals, and they've gone back into the social housing.
Mm.
And the houses, they get no word of a lie. This one girl's got three kids. And it's about 10 feet by 12 feet, the lounge.
Yeah.
And I had to go back to the council and say, you can't boil it in there. It's just small.
Mm.
Tiny, tiny. So if you're going to build houses, build decent ones. And I think the emphasis should be on looking at moving people through housing. So like, if you get into your late 60s, 70s, you're in a three-bed semi, you're on your own, widowed or widower. There's nowhere for you to go, apart from a nursing home or something like that.
Yeah.
But you're independent and you're fully functional. So we should be focusing on making places so that they can move on to retirement villages, which are nice and well catered for, which will then free up the spaces for the young people, the families going with three beds.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the unintended consequences of socialist policies, once again, and that what Labour did was they announced that they were going to change the no fault evictions.
Yeah.
So of course, what you think? Okay, well, you know, landlords shouldn't be able to evict people unless there is fault. But the consequence of them announcing it was that all of the landlords said, well, just a minute, if Labour are going to bring this in and I'm then going to be stuck with these tenants forever and I can't get my property back, I'm going to get rid of them now.
Yeah.
And so suddenly there was a huge number of people who were renting privately who were thrown out onto the streets,
yeah,
getting these Section 21 notices.
It's happening. And also, it's actually, it's, forget this, it's Sudeca, which does all the migrant housing.
Mm.
Private landlords have the tenants.
Yeah.
And renting it back out to them.
That's right.
Three times the price.
Yeah, yeah. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't do it by us, but it's, yeah, but it's just.
Yeah. And have you got a lot of that in your area?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of Section 21 notices going from.
Yeah.
And, but that means nowhere for them to go.
No. Yeah, and it skews the market. First of all, it skews the market in private rented property because there's less of that on the market, so people are struggling to get anywhere to live.
Yeah.
But then, subsequently, once all that property comes back onto the market, it skews the house price proper market as well. So it skews everything.
It does. And I'm really in favour of private landlords. The rents are often cheaper. And because I'm a private landlord as well. We take good care of our property.
Mm.
You know, there's never a thing, you know, touch wood, nothing goes wrong with it. But yeah, if that was under social housing, you're paying a lot more and you're in the chip.
Yeah, yeah.
So terrible.
Yeah, well, as I say, I think Trump has certainly provided the blueprint for what could be done here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not sure we'll have anybody with the dynamism that he's got to try and do so much at once, which is effectively what he's done. They talk about him deliberately flooding the, doing so much that nobody can fight against it because they can't keep track of it.
Funny enough, this is something that Rupert Nell was on about the other night. I forget which program he was on. We don't want to be, because people were accused before, oh, you've got no policy, you've got no, you don't know what you're doing, all this. Because we're a new party, it's hard to put a full plan day one. And he says, we've got to work now, we've got until 2029. So instead of being like Labour coming in, oh, we've won, and then just shooting from the hip with random policies that don't fit in anywhere and causing mayhem, says, let's get the plan. So we're going to do a Trump-esque style. So when we come in, we're going to repeal that bill, put that bill in, repeal this one. But we've got to be busy over the next few years to have that in place. So day one, operation start. Yeah. I know down in HQ they're working on that now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep. If we set the standard there.
Yeah. I think he's given us the blueprint, really, hasn't he? Because, I mean, it's what Trump's done, for example, in just going, every DEI employee in the public sector is gone, you know, just sacked, gone.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Yavi Emily did in Argentina, you know, just take a chainsaw to it. It's not a debate about it. They're gone.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's what was desperately needed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really in favour of meritocracy.
Mm.
I don't care if you're what colour your skin is.
Have you not got any protected characteristics then?
No. Old.
not even the beard.
Although everyone just say I'm Iranian because I've got a dark skin, but now I've got nothing protected. Everything I get, I have to fight for. But no, it's good, you know. I think everyone's got something, a skill or whatever, challenge, whatever it is. And you know, you look at it and go, why should you be protected for something that's just normal? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, at every level. And I've seen it. And there was a girl coming into work, you know, about 12 months ago. She was in a wheelchair. I think she had some limbs amputated. And he was just fighting for it, going forwards, didn't want any special treatment, nothing at all. And it was great. Whereas you have some people, they go, a sore finger, and they're going, oh, you know, help make me thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks very much for coming down today. I usually finish up with just a little bit of a sort of quiz thing, if you... I'm happy for that.
Don't make it too tiny.
No, it's not. It's not. It's very easy. But you just have to pick one of two policies. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you is I'm going to just give you a couple of policies and you're only allowed to enact one of them.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Or get rid of one of them, whatever it is. You have to tell me which one you would do.
Go for it.
Okay. So would you leave the World Health Organization, or would you come out of the Paris Climate Agreement?
Leave the Paris Climate Agreement.
And stay in the WHO?
No, leave both. Oh, yeah. Leave both.
I thought probably that was the case.
Yeah, it was a lesser of two evils.
Right. Yeah. So would you abolish net zero targets, or would you leave the ECHR?
ECHR.
Yeah.
Climate ECHR. Yeah.
Because until we do that and we sort out there's nothing we can do really to stop all the abuses that are going on in terms of the immigration, etc.
Yeah. So it's everything. We got to stand on our own two feet.
Mm. I mean that was a disgraceful decision the other day by the judge who said that everybody can come in from Gaza as if they were from Ukraine. And you know, that's the sort of thing, judicial-led policies which we're now getting.
Yeah, definitely. As soon as I say so, come on. That's
Would you abolish the House of Lords, or would you introduce proportional representation?
Proportional representation.
Right. Why?
Well, I won't bring proportional representation until after the 2029 election. we'll stick with first past the post.
That's a brilliant answer, because you're absolutely right. It's not going to do the Reform Party any good, is it?
No. And that's typically why Labour and the Tories have never done it. They might bring it in now.
Yeah.
That would look over the shoulder.
And they might stop people voting at 16 as well.
Yeah.
Once they realise what the support we have.
I'm all for bringing it for 16. A lot of the support we get from the teenagers is fantastic.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of kids coming in from prospective council candidates from Lancashire tomorrow, so we'll see how they get on.
Yeah. And it's their world, it's their life. You know, it's mine's coming to an end. By the time they get anywhere near my age, I'll be long gone. Mm.
But it's interesting how the policies and the party seem to be appealing more and more to young people. Yeah. I was saying earlier, I remember I was in the Brexit party before, you know, 5 years ago when I went to a conference in Southport for Brexit party. There was nobody there that was under 70. Or, you know, that's what it felt like. Whereas you go to a Reform conference now, and half the audience are young.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's because... This is one good thing about driving. So I'm talking to teenagers, just sent to him, leaving sixth form and going on to uni or apprenticeships. And their app looks bleak.
Mm.
And they're saying to me, can we, like, tell them how we had it? And they're going, I want that. So, no, don't vote Labour, don't vote Tory. If you want that, you've got to get reform.
Yeah.
Where you've got job opportunities. The best person who gets the job, it's because they're the best person, not because of anything they've got or anything they do. It's because they can do the job at the best. And they want that life, and they want to have a house, and they want to start a family. And we can't get that now under the uni parties, as they call them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bring the 16 and 18 all day long.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
kill them. But those schools are very anti-reform, I know.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You can't break that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how we do that, but because I don't think we can go into every school and break it. At the end of the day, the teachers will do what they want. But you're right. I think a lot of it comes from the teacher unions.
It does, yeah. We got a number of ongoing situations where one particular school has been particularly biased.
Right, and are you finding that kids are being picked on or done down because of the support for reform?
Yeah, definitely. So we're dealing with that. I won't go into more about it, but we're dealing with that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not asking for favouritism, just an equal chance.
That's right. Yeah.
But the Little Workers' Party, and we'd like somebody else in, but just not us.
Good. Well, as I say, thanks very much again for coming on. Now, last thing I want to ask you is, that assuming that everything goes as you would like it to, assuming that Labour parachutes somebody into the seat, that you win it, will you invite me down to Westminster and invite me for a drink in the Strangers Bar?
Indeed. Yeah, everyone is welcome. Every biggest trade. We even have a party on the ground outside. Yeah.
Jason, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Kev. Super. Thank you for having me.
I want my country back, and the country I'm talking about would not tolerate this nonsense.
But now you have a choice. There is a party that will represent you and stand up for common sense.
And when the dam bursts, it will do so spectacularly.
I overturned the biggest ever Conservative majority of 25,500 people.
But if Britain is broken, then logically, Britain needs reform.